Douglas Crook, Sunday PM, February 20th, 2011.
All right, if not, let's go to Psalm 119 then. From time to time, I've been giving a series of lessons, with Psalm 119 being our text. As you look at this psalm and you read this psalm, it is extolling the value and the worth of the revealed will of God. And the series of lessons that I've been given have been simply on the 10 names that we find in this psalm that describe that revealed will. There are names, descriptive names, that are used by the Holy Spirit to try to reveal to us why His will revealed to us is so valuable and so important. And we've seen the many blessings that are ours because of the Word of God as we believe it, as we heed it, as we apply it to our life. The 10 names that we've been considering, the first one is law we looked at, and then statutes, then precepts, then commandments, testimonies, all of this speaking, these are descriptive words, all of the same thing, of the Bible, of the Word of God, of the revealed will of God. We've looked at testimonies. The sixth one was judgments. God calls His will judgments. Truth. And then the eighth one that we're ready to consider tonight briefly is simply the Word. That's probably the most common title that we give the Bible, that we give God's revealed will. But we want to look at what it's trying to express to us. Why is that particular word used? Then the ninth one will be way, as we have time in the future. We'll look at that word. And then the last one is righteousness. All of these are descriptive titles of the Bible, of the revealed will of God. In Psalm 119 and verse 9, we have our eighth word that we're going to consider this evening, and it's used a number of times throughout this psalm as well as throughout the entire Bible. But here we'll just use this as our text verse. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. And again, he's talking about the same thing we've been talking about all through this series. As you read the 119th psalm, the longest psalm in the Bible. And it's interesting that the longest psalm is about the word itself and about its value and its worth. The word simply means spoken word, or it means to speak of a matter, to speak of an issue. You have something to say, and in our human experience, we use words to express what we want to say. God had something to say to the human race, and He has revealed that through His Son, the living Word, but through the spoken Word and the written Word, we have the revelation of that person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our attitude towards the Bible is a direct reflection of our attitude toward God Himself. Sometimes we are accused of worshiping the Bible. Well, no, we don't worship the Bible. But to ignore Scripture, not to understand its value, is to ignore God Himself. Because this is His Word. This is what He has to say to us. We spoke this morning about understanding how God manifests His love toward us, the love of the Father for us. The only way that we know how He loves us and how He's manifested that love is through His Word. And so that's how important it is. Does it matter to you what God has to say? Clearly to the world it doesn't matter. But sadly, many of God's people are rude to their Heavenly Father. His words don't matter. I've had people tell me, well, yeah, I know what the Bible says, Brother Doug, but if we truly believe the Bible to be what it says it is, and you have to decide whether it's a book of lies or whether it's what it has proven itself to be, the communication of God to the human race, His Word. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, you know, if I could hear God speak to me directly, you know, if at least the burning bush experience, then I would do what God told me to do. No, you wouldn't. This word, this Bible, should have the same authority as if God was physically standing in front of you and speaking to you. This is His word. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3 and look at a few declarations found in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. If the Bible to you is just a book of rules, if it's just something that you pick up on Sundays, because that's what people do, and anymore in most churches they don't even do that. I've had a number of visitors that visit and they say, you know, it was so refreshing to see people bring their Bibles to church. So, because we go to church and nobody brings their Bible. And you know what? They don't need to, because the Bible's not really being preached. And then that same fact about us is also a complaint of some. All you do is read the Bible. Well, this is God's word. He's speaking to me. He's speaking to you. And if you don't approach the Bible with that very personal understanding of your relationship with God, then you're not going to benefit as you should, and as God wants and intends us to benefit from His word. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. Just as we physically, the mechanics of speech involve breathing and the shaping of our mouth and all the mechanics of speaking, and it is quite weird. Most of us who've never had trouble with speech, with strokes or whatever, our daughter Rose had several birth defects, and one of them had to do with speech. Most of us take it for granted. We just speak. We just say our words. But whenever someone has had trouble, they have to learn the basics of the mechanics of how to form words, and part of that is breath. Here we are told that this word, this Bible, that God Himself has spoken. He has formed the mechanics. He has done the works. And in this case, the mechanics are He inspired holy men of old. That was the mechanics with which He spoke. But nonetheless, it is God speaking. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to be successful in the will of God? There's only one way to do it. Take heed to the Word of God. That means, first of all, you have to hear it, you have to know it, but then that alone is not enough. You have to heed it. Obey it. Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 4. To bring it to a point here, God has expressed His will on a number of matters throughout history, as we've been studying on Sunday mornings. And He's spoken and used different instruments at different times to reveal His will to the human race. But in this church age, in these last days, He has spoken to us by the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Now, when it says that He has spoken to us through Jesus Christ, that's not simply His earthly ministry, because Jesus Himself said His earthly ministry was primarily to the nation of Israel, not to the church. He came to die for the whole human race, but His earthly ministry to His disciples was primarily to the lost sheep of Israel. But Jesus Himself said to those same disciples, I have more to say to you. I've got more words for you, but you're not able to bear them now. And so the full revelation, we understand, was reserved for the Apostle Paul to give. But all of this is the gospel of Jesus Christ in its completion with Paul's revelation is God speaking to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things, notice the power of these words, by the word of His power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus Christ is co-creator with the Father. He is the Word that we read this morning in John, that the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word came and dwelt among us. Jesus is the living Word, and the written Word, this Bible that we're talking about, is the revelation of who He is. And so this is how valuable the gospel of Jesus Christ is. God had a matter to talk to us about, and He did it through His Son. He wanted to convey to the human race how He loved us, how He created us, how we rebelled against Him, but how He desired to reconcile us back to Himself. And He gave us His Word to reveal this truth to us. Hebrews 12 and verses 25 to 29. The unbeliever who turns a deaf ear to the gospel of Jesus Christ is rejecting the Word of God. This is Hebrews 12 and verses 25 to 29. And as we touched on this morning, though man thinks they can take or leave the Bible without any consequence, it's just, I think it was Brother Kyle during the Christmas program said, you know, people tell you sometime when you tell them what you believe, they'll tell you, well, that's your point of view. Well, and Kyle says that's true. That is our point of view. But beyond that, it's God's point of view. And that's what matters. My view doesn't matter. But we need to make sure that our view is actually God's view. And you cannot simply ignore when God speaks, though the human race has tried. Hebrews 12, verses 25 to 29. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Do you see the shaking going on? Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. What a privilege it is for us to be able to hear the Word of God, because we know the message of God. It is grace for those who believe. And to understand that when we line our life up, when we stand on the Word of God, when we unite ourselves with the Word of God, we are standing on ground that will not be shaken. And in this world in which we live, when there is so much confusion and so much unrest, you stand solid on the Word of God and you will not have to fear. You will enjoy a peace that passes understanding. When everything else is falling apart around you, you know you're standing on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. You're standing on the Word of God that will never, never be shaken. When the unbeliever rejects the message of the gospel, they're not just rejecting a philosophy. They're not just rejecting a religion. They're rejecting the Word of God. And that is not without consequence. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, and we'll read verses 18 to 21. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, that is us believers, Christians, the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. That's an incredible statement. that God Himself is pleading to the world through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Once again, none of these things are probably new to anyone. How often do I, when I'm preaching, use the phrase, the Word of God? How often do you, when you're talking about the Bible, use the phrase, the Word of God? But we need to truly stand in awe of our privilege and our responsibility as ambassadors of Christ. God speaks to the world through me. He has chosen to do this. I don't know why. There were probably other ways. He could do it with His angels. I've been studying quite a bit on angels lately, and they're pretty impressive creatures. He could have just sent angels to save towns and cities. But He chose me to speak to the world. His word. Do I value that privilege? Do I stand in awe of my responsibility? People wonder, how can I live godly? You know, why should I live godly? Because I'm an ambassador representing my Heavenly Father. And this word is more valuable, more precious. People need to hear what I have to say. Not because it's from me, not because it's my voice, but because it's the Word of God. Creation itself testifies that there's a Creator. It tells us of His majesty and of His power. And though the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I made a sarcastic remark this morning, for which I do not apologize, about evolution. And evolution is such a foolish, they laugh at us for being fools for believing the creation account. How foolish. And yet when you look at the order of the universe, when you look at your own body, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And what I ask those that sit still long enough for me to question their faith in evolution, that if you went up here in the mountains, in the forests, I've used this example before, but to me, I haven't had anybody been able to come up with an answer. If you go up to the mountains here in an uninhabited area, and you come into a clearing, and in that clearing you have a beautiful mansion that's built, what is it you're going to assume from that majestic mansion that's right there in the middle of nowhere in those trees? Are you going to think, you know, that mansion is there and came together because, well, there was a tornado, and then the rain kind of put things together? And or are you going to make the logical assumption there's an architect involved here? All of the miter joints and the ornate trim, and I don't see the architect. I don't see him working. I didn't see him do it, but I come across something that there's an architect involved here somewhere. When I look at creation, it testifies there's a creator. There's an architect, a divine maker. But the creation itself cannot reveal to me all that God is or all that He purposes for me. Creation can't tell me that. That's why those who say, well, you know, Brother Doug, I like to just go to the mountains and worship God on Sundays. Well, go ahead, but you're not going to hear from creation the Word of God. It's not going to happen. You can worship God anywhere, and should. But to understand who God is, He's expressed His opinion. He's given His revelation, but it's only through the Word of God. This is why you cannot afford to ignore what the Bible says. The lost, we know, turn a deaf ear to God, but the sad thing is many of God's own children have turned a deaf ear. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. To many Christians, it really doesn't matter what the Bible says. My situation's different. God thinks differently when it comes to me. Well, God has told us. And our attitude toward the Word of God reflects our attitude toward God Himself. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God." Again, not just a title. It's what it is. It's the Word, the communication from God to you, which also effectively works in you who believe. That Word will transform your life when you believe it, when you receive it. We need to be like the Thessalonians. As His children, we need to be attentive to the thoughts of our Heavenly Father, to His plans, to His purpose, that we might benefit from His gracious words. For a Christian, there should not be anything more precious to you than the Word of God. There should not be anything that has more authority in your life than the Word of God. Not your pastor, not the TV evangelist, not society, not your government. Who has the greatest authority in your life? It's the Word of God. Because it is the Word that God has communicated to me for every area of my life. What is your attitude towards your Father's words for you? Jesus, when He was tempted in the wilderness, what did He say? "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." That's quite a statement. You have to eat, don't you? You need God's word more than you need to eat, because it has eternal benefit. Romans 10, verse 17, familiar passage, but let's turn there so, again, we can contemplate the value of the Word of God. If you are going to receive anything from God, it will only be through faith. And this is why many Christians that try to love God and love each other without an understanding of what the Bible teaches, about what the Bible says, they cannot love God as they should. They cannot love each other as they should. Because if you do anything that's going to honor God and please Him, it will only be by faith. The Bible says anything that's not of faith, it's sin. So that's, you know, that's a pretty straight line. It's either faith or it's sin. The only place that you will receive faith, Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the value of this revealed will. We must learn to hear and to heed our Father's loving instruction. We must yield to it when it brings conviction, rather than run from it, rather than making excuses. We need to surrender to the conviction that the Word of God brings by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 4 and verse 11 to 13. Hebrews 4 verse 11. "Therefore, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest." The rest is there. It's free. And yet, we must be diligent to enter into it. "Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to His eyes, of Him to whom we must give an account." What's going to be the basis of that account that we give to Him? What you have understood and obeyed of His revealed will. This is why, as a child of God, it's not an option. You can't ignore it. I mentioned, I think it was 2 weeks ago, about a compliment that was given, and I received it as a compliment, although I also understood it to be a real insult to the church at large. And that is, we found our niche in this assembly because we are experts on doctrine. And so you found your niche in teaching doctrine. Well, a niche is just a little shelf in a corner. And in all of Christendom, doctrine and those assemblies that stand for doctrine and teach doctrine kind of put them in a corner. And, you know, if you kind of like that, then you can go find the niche, because they have a niche there. But do you understand how important the word is? This is how we know God. This is how we please God. This is how we have his best in this life and eternity. It is by hearing what God has to say. We'll close with going back to Psalm 119, verse 11. I stand in awe of our privilege to be the recipients of God's word, to be the stewards of God's word, to actually be God's mouthpiece in this church age. It's a privilege for us. May we never take it for granted. Your word, verse 11 of Psalm 119, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I love my Heavenly Father. I love his word. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed this evening.